Hello, and welcome once again to Circulus, a homebrew D&D campaign where every week I prove that I am a horrible person, I am bad, and I should feel bad. And this week it will only get worse. Joining me today are a bunch of people who haven't realized what I've done yet. Including Chris / Akari. Chris, who are you playing and where can we find you?
I'm terrified now. I'm playing Vex Saren Silvar, a half-elf ranger, and you can find me on the podcast Azeroth Coast to Coast, which is azerothctc.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Akari_Mag.
Wonderful. And we also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing and where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra, that's B-O-L-T-H-R-A, and I am playing Pankaram Darkstone, the gnome barbarian.
Next up, we have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I'm Fenix, a dragonborn paladin with no last name.
That he admits to. Or that he knows because the DM said he'd give him one and I forgot to. And last but certainly not least, we have a new addition. Meepo, the kobold sorcerer, has become self-aware. And she is being played by Jen. Jen, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SlowtownJen, S-L-O-T-O-W-N, Jen, and you can follow me there unless you're on my, like, major block list of people I don't like. You can try. So I'm on Twitter, and you can find my website is bookofjen.net.
Woo! Yes, so, brand new player, I am thrilled that I no longer have to make Meepo's voice.
It's going to be fun making that voice, though, I think. I think you would have problems, though, but I want to do the voice.
Well, if you want to do the voice, more power to you. I am looking forward to seeing Meepo's character growth. I'm looking forward to seeing this character make choices that I wouldn't make. Because I play enough characters. I don't need more characters. So
this just makes it all easier on you.
This makes it easier on me.
Yeah.
And for the sake of the recording, origin story time, when Jen agreed to join our merry band of adventurers, she did have the option of making her own original character, and she liked Meepo anyway, so No harm with that. All right.
I've never played a kobold before, so, you know, gotta try that.
I have, but only as a DM, and they tended to die a lot. Mostly from snowballs. All right, so where we left off, our band of adventurers managed to kill a chain devil after it rolled a series of ones, then turned on their ogre companion and mercilessly slaughtered him after he so innocently tried to turn Vex into a bloody smear on the ground. Was that asking too much?
Yes.
Okay, well...
But he was framed.
Of course you would agree with the ogre trying to kill me. Of course you would.
The funny thing, if we're talking about murdering things is funny, which, yeah, it really isn't, but the thing that amuses me is Buddy got angry because he thought Vex killed his friend. When Vex is actually responsible for killing his friend a few days earlier.
Yeah, I did do so that.
Buddy's rage was justified.
Justified, but not the way he thought it was. Actually, technically it was Shepard that laid into the killing blow.
Oh, are you going to let that ogre kill Shepard?
That ogre fell on me.
I just rolled the dice.
Not you. Not you. Well, the question wasn't for you.
What, for me? Friend, Punk?
Would you let that ogre kill Shepard?
Of course not.
There you
but
go
it would have been fun to watch.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Punk is not a good person. You haven't caught on by now? Punk's the kind of person he's all about just... chaos.
He has a monkey wrench. No one needs to do
Punk's the kind of person that would put on sunglasses and slowly walk away from an explosion.
Yes.
And the explosion of all friends.
Provided there was a mirror that he could look in to watch the explosion behind him and see how cool he was. All right, so you've managed to do that. There don't seem to be any more threats. You loot 4 of the corpses of the spellcasters that did the summoning and loot 1 of the corpses in its entirety. You're just storing it for later in a portable hole that happens to have a live chicken in it also. Worth noting, portable holes only have about enough air for about 10 minutes, so you have no idea why that chicken is still breathing.
That might be my next character, is the chicken.
One hit point.
Oh, don't make me come up with stats for that.
For this chicken, oh no.
Chicken barbarian.
I'm thinking of the chicken from Moana, where that movie is.
Oh.
The Hawaiian one where she has the chicken that's on the raft with her.
I haven't seen that movie, but I think I've seen that scene where she just covers its head and then stops screaming, and then she uncovers it and it starts. That's my only knowledge of that chicken. You take this entire corpse with you also because, one, it's the only one that kind of survived a giant fireball that Ari cast on the group. But additionally, you have some ideas that Obey might be able to speak with dead to interrogate this caster to find out what the heck they thought they were doing. I can't remember his name, but basically you intend to talk to the dead and go, "What were you thinking?" And have a moment like that. You get back up to the edge of this giant crater from where What's On used to be. I got the town's name right this time. And go back to the stablery where you left Fiddle Punch and Meepo. Fiddle Punch has not been idly twiddling his thumbs. When you enter the stable, the horses are there. Vex silently says a prayer to his god of thanks that he has not lost the horses.
Again?
Yes. Thank you, Tom, for posting that to Discord. There seems to be a large contraption set up in the middle of the stable with a very narrow door, about 6 feet tall, but only about half a foot wide. And there's dials and spinning gears, and it pretty much looks like something out of one of the gnomish areas in World of Warcraft, only with more buttons on it that are shiny. And he's standing in front of it with a clipboard, writing things down, and every now and then adjusting something. Sometimes he's adjusting it with a wrench, sometimes it's a screwdriver, sometimes you don't know the name of the tool. Sometimes he just hits the side of it. But he is totally preoccupied, hasn't realized you've come back yet.
Can I just say now, what the hell are you doing?
Well, that's right. You weren't there. Do you remember seeing the tall contraptions that I'd set up near the Blast Radius Inn?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, those are specifically designed to measure fluctuations in the space-time continuum, mostly having to do with the astral plane and movement through it, but occasionally dealing with other planes.
Can you English this up a little bit?
I have no idea what English is.
Can you comment this up a little bit?
Okay. Do you know what a ruler is?
Somebody who rules kingdom?
Yeah, I would.
A better word you use for measuring.
Okay.
Yes, that kind of ruler. Yes. This makes rulers that let me measure what happened here to help me figure out if there's a way you can go home.
Okay.
Okay.
For example, And he goes over and he presses a really shiny red button. And the door opens up and out pops one of these large staffs or spears with a giant crystal on top. But it looks like somebody would hold this if they were a wizard at a steampunk convention.
You like it, Meepo?
I don't know what it does. He said, but that's a lot of words. I don't understand. But it's shiny, so that's nice.
Yeah. And you love it. Can Meepo have it?
If Meepo is willing to put this at the edge of the crater, sure. And he hands it to Meepo.
Okay.
I can help. Yay. I go running off with the thing where I think the crater might be.
You can't miss it. It's a mile wide. You literally cannot miss it.
Okay, so I run down to the end of the crater with this thing. How big is this thing?
It's 6 feet tall. Oh, the crater itself?
No, the thing I'm carrying.
Oh, staff. It's 6 feet in height.
Okay, so I'm dragging the thing with me.
Well, that's right. Miko's strength is kind of low.
She's tiny.
She is not yet a full-grown kobold. A full-grown kobold would be 6 years old. You got 2 years to go. So yeah, you're dragging it behind you. You're leaving a gouge in the ground as you go. you don't need an advantage roll to track Meepo at this point.
I'm making a trail.
Okay, but you get there. You're not too far away from the edge of the crater.
Okay.
And it's assuming. What do you do based on the instruction that you think you've been given?
Let's see. I found the crater, and I have this thing, and I'm supposed to bring it here. So I'm done. I put it down and come back.
So you don't actually stick it into the ground; you just leave it on the ground.
He said, "Bring it to the crater." Okay. It's to the crater.
That's fine.
I love it.
I love this game. I love
it. I love D&D.
Look for the yellow question mark.
Okay. So, essentially, this is how the routine goes for the rest of the evening, where various party members take turns taking these staffs to the edge of the crater, setting up the ones that Meepo just leaves on the ground. but spacing them somewhat haphazardly, kind of evenly around it. You do all have time to take a long rest, so those of you who got enough experience to level up to level 5 are now going to be benefiting from that. You're back to full hit points. Yes. Ding! in this moment, that's when Meepo dings 2 levels. And on that day... From level 2 to level 4. because the house rule that we're doing is when new characters come in, whether they are replacements for dead characters or new players in general, they're starting 1 level below what the rest of the party is. So, Meepo is less likely to get smished in one shot.
What time is it, by the way? Because I'm waiting for my bag of tricks to recharge.
Oh, that's right. Your bear survived. So
yeah, so he's still running around.
Yeah, he's still lumbering around. For some reason, Fiddle Punch has decided to call your bear Trinket.
I approve. I totally approve.
When can I get the secret juice? I need some.
Not a question I really want to hear from a child.
Definitely not.
He's asking when Fenix can go back down to the inn.
When you're done here.
Yeah.
So dawn breaks.
Yay. Oh, the bear's gone.
Bear goes.
Oh.
Bye, Trinket. Yes.
I love this game so much. So your bag of tricks is fully recharged. Everyone's happy, except the sun's kind of bright for Meepo, but she's got her umbrella hat of Featherfall. So that helps a little bit. And hey, this is, let me explain. This hat is not just an umbrella hat. It is a stereotypical umbrella hat in that the top of it is not a single color. It is a rainbow pattern going over the whole thing in the brightest, most garish colors. Like, you can pick Meepo out from a crowd anywhere. Anywhere.
I feel like that's going to be really handy.
The only thing that would make it more handy is if she had one of those things that you put on a bike, one of those long poles with a little flag on it.
Or we put a bell around her neck.
No, that won't help at all.
Meepo would be playing with the bell just for fun.
Yeah, that would be a decision that you would probably regret within one turn. Like, okay, let's try this again. You take the bell from her. You take the little part out of the bell that makes it ring and give it back to her, and she finds some way to make it ring anyway.
Puts a pebble in it.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, and Fiddle Punch is going over the data that he is collecting from these. Apparently, there's some way that these staves are communicating with a device that Fiddle Punch has on him that's handheld. So he's writing down numbers, and he's getting very excited about the numbers he's writing down.
Hey, Fiddle Punch, we crossed somebody. We were down in the crater. We brought him along. I'm gonna have you take a look at him. I want to open up the portable hole and drag out the corpse.
Where did you get that portable hole?
Oh, never mind.
It looks very familiar. It seems to have some unique properties.
I think I got it on eBay. I don't quite remember. But
I'm not familiar with that.
You want to take a look at this guy? What do you think of him?
That chicken sounds familiar too. In any case,
that's little buddy.
Don't worry about it, buddy.
Okay.
The chicken's name is Little Buddy now.
He has a right on your character sheet, I guess. Companion.
All right.
Chicken.
All right. Little I now have a pet, Little Buddy.
Lives in a portable hole. It has advantage against grapple checks, so that you've never been able to actually catch it. You have attempted to in the past.
Now I'm gonna have to write a song about him.
So. Punk takes levels in Bard. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you pull this corpse out of the portable hole, and Fiddle Punch looks at it and says, "That is definitely a corpse."
Yeah. He looks familiar to you.
This may come as a surprise to you, but even considering where I live for the past several centuries, I don't see a lot of dead bodies.
Because he seemed like he was what do you guys call it, like a sort of magician or something? Like he was doing some kind of summoning or something, some magic stuff?
He was adept in magic. More specifically, magic that summoned a demon from another plane.
Yeah, that's it.
We don't actually have a club. We don't have meeting times. We don't pay dues. Okay, there probably are some clubs that pay dues.
All I was asking is if you know it's seen before, you don't have to be a jerk about it. Anyway, all right.
You're kind of assuming that all of us researchers know everyone else, and that I am taking a little bit of offense at that. No, he does not look familiar. I have not seen him before. That amulet that he's wearing appears to be magical in some way, shape, or form, but I would have to study it more, and our compatriot Ari here would probably be better skilled at that than I am.
And he has just shown up.
Huzzah! I can take the AFK button off of you. Ta-da! Okay. And no one will see this until they're actually watching it on YouTube. So.
Okay. All right, so what did I miss?
You missed a night of setting up... basically, it was one of those quests that you have in video games where you go around and place things exactly where the quest tells you to put things, and you come back to collect your reward, and the reward is another quest. But instead of collecting the quest, they decided to show Fiddle Punch a dead body.
Because why not?
I don't want him sitting in the bag forever. So
they'll start to stink up the joint.
Mm.
And little buddy might eat him. I don't know.
little buddy.
Ari, I think
the chicken. In
the yeah, the chicken. Little buddy.
When I'm editing this, I might just find public domain chicken noises and just put them in the background for this episode.
Awesome.
Every time Little Buddy's mentioned, just like...
maybe Justice can show Little Buddy fly.
Justice sees Little Buddy as prey.
The fairness so anyway. Shepherd.
Yep, this is
talk. Ari, you want to hold on to this amulet? Otherwise, we're just going to throw this body outside. We don't need him anymore.
All right, yeah. Ari would have tried to detect magic on him before we left to make sure there was nothing extra he might have had valuable.
Is magical.
The robe. Okay, so we'll take his robe and the amulet.
Okay.
And maybe he's gotten nothing on underneath.
Well, he has undergarments that are slightly less charred than the rest of him.
Although we never mind.
I still feel like we should take the body so that we could possibly see if Obian can speak to dead.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Did we try a tracking, or did we follow? Like, how did these guys get to where they were? They didn't just teleport in. Or did they?
Vex last week did do some examination of tracks in the ground.
Okay.
They've been all over this town. So it would probably take more time than you want to spend for him to try to find exactly where they came in. And even then, that might not be where they came in. They might have gone back out and come back in again.
Did we perhaps search the area, see if they had set up a campsite somewhere? I mean, they weren't probably doing this summoning where they were sleeping.
It's a good idea to not sleep right next to a pile of dead bodies, usually.
Yeah. I consider
that. Carry it around.
Yeah. or carry one around in a portable hole.
Exactly. With your beloved friend. See if there's a campsite or anything.
I mean, just in case they were. You showed the map of the hole last week, and it looked like there were at least still some buildings remaining standing.
There are a significant number of buildings that are still standing. It's the center of town, the most densely populated portion of it, with the largest and oldest buildings. That's gone.
Right, that's where the hole is.
Yes, there are. Plenty of buildings on the outskirts that all appear to be abandoned.
Okay. I don't know that we have to spend a lot of time doing a search of this. If they camped out, they were probably at least somewhat, maybe not right on top of it, but at least nearby is my guess. I'm simply looking to see if there's any other notes or anything they might have had on whatever they were doing. God, that's a big hole.
Yeah, it's a mile wide.
I guess maybe.
How about this? Everyone who wants to spend some time trying to find where they were camped out, give me an investigation check.
That I'm actually good at.
I don't find out where that was.
These are humanoids?
It's an intelligence investigation check.
I get it.
Yes.
So in
it's the
top of your character sheet.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Yeah. All you're supposed to see on the top of your character sheet, and you should be able to see one that says investigation.
Thank God for advantage, because I rolled a natural one and an 18.
Okay, I rolled a 19, and the investigation says plus 2.
That's fantastic.
I rolled better than the ranger did.
Ari rolled a 15, and he's a plus 7 on investigation, so that's a 22.
I have a 21.
Both better than the ranger.
Okay, so pretty much Vex climbs on top of a slightly lower house, and starts looking around with
what's one, your half-elf eye,
with one hand. Yeah, he looks around with his half-elf eyes. So with one eye, the elvish eye.
The quarter eyes?
Yeah, he puts one hand up over his eyes to shield them from the sun and looks around. And he's like, let's see. They would probably have built their camp close to the crater because their base of operations was in the middle of it and they'd have less distance to travel. So looking at the houses that are still intact, because the houses that are right up at the edge... Like, if the house was at the edge of the crater, whatever part of the house extended into the crater is just gone. It's sheared off. So he's looking for intact houses that are close to the edge that look like they'd be able to house five people and two ogres comfortably. And he's like, okay, so I think based on triangulation, okay, I think it would be right there. And he points dramatically with his cloak billowing behind him, because why not? Because that's something he can do. He points at a house that Ari and Meepo are walking into because they deduce the same thing.
God damn it. As Little Levec says, God damn it. And okay. He gets down and catches up.
So you do find a house, and you go in and you find some supplies.
And drink.
You little alcoholic.
And here's the thing. Fenix didn't actually have a chance to drink any of the Gear Grinder special.
No, right?
Obane drank half of it, and he threw the other half into a gibbering mouther.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yes, okay, that was a very triumphant moment. I was
it
very
almost
pleased
killed the dwarf. So
that's why I need more of that special stuff.
This is going to be a thing. Do find a keg of... rather not very good ale. From the looks of it, it might have been brewed by goblins, so it's more weak moonshine than anything else. It might have just been there because, you know, you mix a little bit of alcohol with water that you find and it helps sterilize it. So it was more meant for water purification. You're not going to get a buzz off of this very much. But you find regular supplies also. They do have books and notes that appear to be written in some kind of code. Ari, you do find a spell book. But...
Cha-ching!
But you look inside and what you can deduce is you already know these spells. It's actually mostly cantrips.
Ah, okay. I was worried about him, the guy with the robes and the amulet, but he probably hid his somewhere special. Worth a shot to at least check out.
From what you're mostly seeing from the notes that you look at, and the other accoutrements you're finding, you're thinking that if we're going to metagame here, they were more cleric than wizard.
Wow, okay.
So they wouldn't have actually had spell books.
No, they wouldn't have. They would have, yeah. Okay. It's worth a shot. We don't, because they can both summon demons, so it's like, which one was doing it? We didn't get enough at the ritual before we shot at them. And, yeah, then the devil showed up, so.
Yeah.
We had other things to worry about at that moment in time. All right. I'm satisfied. We'll take the notes. Ari will look at them later when we get back to civilization.
And the spellbook is still valuable. It's just not valuable to you as a spellbook.
Yeah. It might be a collector's item for someone else. So, all right, we'll take that. Ari will take that at least if no one else wants it. And we'll take any notes they have on this, whatever they were doing here. And we'll, again, read them later. Since they're in code, I'll need time to decipher them when I get a chance.
And we'll take Gear Grinder Special.
There is no Gear Grinder Special here.
No, just weak ale. I doubt the dwarf would even qualify it as such.
You also find a chest that contains about... I'm going to roll a die to find out exactly how much.
Okay, hold on. Free money!
99 gold pieces.
Sweet.
And a little bit of lint.
And copper ain't one.
I hate you. I hate you, and I appreciate our friendship at the same time.
Meepo wants to see if she can find a shiny necklace like the guy was wearing.
I was going to ask, is Jen playing Meepo?
Yes.
Give her the amulet. Let her wear it.
Well, if Meepo looks at her character sheet, you might see that you actually already have an amulet of your own.
Yes, but more shinies are good.
Yes, okay. You do not find any additional amulets.
Ah.
Question for the group. Are we having an overall party fund, or are we just going with individual gold?
No, this is stealing.
Greed is best.
Okay.
Are you rolling need or rolling greed?
I don't have any idea how much money I have. I have 9 gold.
You might want Punk to buy the next round when you go to the inn.
Yeah. I don't have any notes on what money we have found, so
we haven't found a lot.
Yeah, this is the first we found in quite a bit.
I have 32 gold.
You have 20.
Yeah, you were all being altruistic over the rest of winter after Arc 1 ended. Punk was, shall we say, more entrepreneurial.
And well, Tom I did get
has muted himself.
I did at least get to scribe some spells for free, so that's value in and of itself.
Oh yeah, that's probably worth more than anything that Punk got.
Yeah,
animals.
You know, now that I think about it, that's probably why I haven't worried too much about the money, because I've been able to scribe scrolls from the father and son duo up there in the castle or in the keep.
Yeah, the rich people were taking care of you.
Yeah.
You don't really recall any time that you've had to worry about money. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's the supplies I need to scribe the spell. So if they're providing
1%.
Yeah. If they're providing the spell, if they're providing the materials, then I'm covered. And that's all I had to worry about. Yeah. So, all right. That's good enough for me.
Okay. So you finish looting again. Make your way back to the stables, and Fiddle Punch is greeting you at the door. This is truly amazing. Do you have any idea? Of course you don't. I get that. Okay. Speak in common. Simple words, no more than 7 syllables each. Okay. So this is incredible. This crater, this event, is such a wonderful find. I have no idea what's going on.
So it's new to you, too.
Do you have any idea how rarely that happens?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell us.
I think I just did.
Whatever.
In any case, what I needed to get done here is finished. We can safely go back to the Blast Radius Inn. I'll work on my calculations during the trip.
Okay.
Unless there's something else you needed to do here?
No, I'm good.
No, I was just hoping for a little bit more information.
And I will be happy to share it with you. There will be more information. I just need to look at all of these numbers and figure out how they fit together. The model that I had planned originally, none of this fits in with that. But the data is not questionable. So that means my model was wrong and I need to come up with a new one that makes all the numbers fit. Let's put it this way. I thought I was tracking one kind of animal, and it turns out I'm actually tracking a different one.
So instead of tracking, say, a wyvern,
so you need to adapt.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I can do that. I just need a bit of time. And I can be working on that while we're going back to the inn, because apparently the Dragonborn really, really wants some of that nasty ale. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like we're setting up for an intervention here.
I don't see any of this as a bad thing. Let the dragon have his ale.
He needs to refuel his fire.
Okay, well, in any case, I'm happy to leave if you're happy to leave.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you head north. You encounter absolutely nothing.
Hooray.
Which you're kind of used to it at this point in this area, because it's everything, now that you've killed the ogres, is deathly silent. And this was the beginning of the day, so you very easily make it back to the Blast Radius Inn before nightfall. Obame is there. He did not find the horses.
Is his beard still pink?
Purple. No, it was purple.
Purple.
That was a prestidigitation, and that lasts for about 1 hour, so it wore off before you got very far at all. It's the principle of the thing.
You don't mess with a dwarven beard.
Yes, exactly. Especially Obane's, because he took very good care of it. And still does. Although you think you might see a few twigs sticking out of it at this point. He did find part of a saddle. He knows the mending cantrip, and he has healing spells, so any other physical damage that he took, he's taking care of, but you have a suspicion that there may have been some comical adventures that he partook in that led to things like cliffs and short drops and stepping in things that should not be stepped in. And
so he looked like he had fun.
He is composing himself in a way where he's trying to be serious, but you suspect that he's barely containing his rage about the adventures that he had while you were having fun being epic.
Okay.
So, he does mention that while he's been waiting for you to return, he did have a conversation with Tillery, the gnome that runs the distillery. And she does happen to have a request, if you're willing to take it up, where she has a rather large keg of Gear Grinder Special that has been purchased by someone in the town of Idano. and oddly enough, the merchant caravans that come through the area, most of them decide not to deliver it for her. It's almost as if they're deathly afraid that something will happen that will make it rupture and explode.
What could that
be? I wonder why.
Yeah, but in any case, if you're willing to transport that, she is willing to throw in a more normal-sized keg of the same stuff as payment.
Having it be quite fun.
You could probably get maybe about 20 bottles worth out of the keg.
Or a dragonborn could just throw the keg.
And then you'd all die.
Here's my vote. Not dying.
Here's my vote. Gear Grinder Special.
Yay!
And Fiddle Punch throws a map down at the table that you're at. And he says, okay, so it turns out this may be a shock to you, but I was wrong about a lot of things. I don't think it's a matter of diffusion happening between the worlds. I think they are very specific portals that open up, and I think there are very specific things that line up. They align to create these portals. And depending on the conditions near them, or how they're arranged, or what's happening where they are, that determines what's taking place. I was able to discover the location of one of these focus points, if my calculations are correct. More data is always more useful. It is in this area here, and he circles with a quill one part of the map. It appears to be really close to the coastline, to the east and south of where you are now. It looks like it would be multiple days travel, a week or more probably. but that's how far he's narrowed it down. I don't know what the focus would look like. I don't know how large it would be. I don't know if it'd be a stationary structure or something portable. I just know that there's something in this area and a few other areas around Circulus, but they're a lot further away. This would probably be the first place to investigate.
All right, let's go.
Where did Tellery say that the keg had to go? If it's en route, we might as well do both.
You could make a beeline towards that area and avoid much of civilization, but you could very easily follow the long road at least to Idano and then turn south from there.
I think if we're carrying a keg of explosive alcohol, probably the longer way is going to be safer.
Probably.
Not as much fun, but...
Not as much. Nowhere near as much fun.
Just go charging through the wilderness. An explosive keg? What could go wrong?
I can just slip one of the kegs.
Shall I begin to count the ways?
We put it in a wagon with Fenix guarding it.
Yes! I will pick it up and walk with
no
it.
No sample.
This is going to end poorly.
No. Yeah. Well, me and wagons never end poorly.
I am clearly biased, so I will not vote on this decision. However, if you so choose, I can investigate the construction of this keg. You called it a keg, right? Yeah, a keg. And determine whether or not it would be safe for traveling.
Can we put that in the portable hull? We had the corpse in there. Let's put that in there. It might be safer in there.
Oh, little buddy.
Obaim.
I mean, a little buddy can just ride on my shoulder. So
Obaim is the only person who has seen the keg in question, and he has not seen Punk's portable hull, so he can't guess. Obaim looks at him and says, "Yeah, it'd probably fit."
Okay. Take little buddy out. He can ride on my shoulder.
You cannot catch little buddy.
Little buddy.
Not even with an acrobatics or a dex check.
You have never been able to catch him. Historically, you have tried in the past multiple times, and you have never been able to do it.
Yeah.
He's a chicken.
Can I cast speak with animals?
Most of the time, you don't even see him. You just hear him.
Please speak to little buddy.
I'm gonna go down the normal route here of every time we see an animal. Can I cast speak with animals?
Okay, so you cast speak with animals.
Hey, buddy, little guy, little chicken, can you come over here a second?
No.
Okay, why not?
You're gonna eat me.
I'm a vegetarian.
You'll give me something to eat me. And how do I know you're telling the truth?
I'm a ranger. We don't lie to animals.
He's smarter than Buddy Senior.
Not by much.
Accurate.
How do I know you're a ranger?
I have a bow and a pet companion.
Oh, because clearly only rangers can carry bows and have pets.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
So we have a sarcastic chicken.
Yeah, we have a chicken. We have a wise cracking chicken. Okay.
Let him go.
No one's going to eat you.
Darn right no one's going to eat me because I'm staying right here.
Wherever
that. Okay, you know what? You want to stay in the hole? Stay in the hole.
I'm glad we've come to an agreement.
Little buddy, get back in the hole.
He's not leaving the hole.
He's never left the hole.
To leave the hole.
Still there.
I thought he ran out.
No.
I'm just trying to talk to him.
Vex is going into the hole, and he was just hearing voices come out. Meanwhile,
he's a sassy little chicken, and he refuses to leave the hole. Okay.
Meanwhile, everyone in the inn is pretty much just watching Vex make clucking noises into a giant portable hole that was trying to pick us the wall. Most of them have never seen anything like this in their lives.
Oh my gosh!
If cell phones existed, there would be several that would be recording this incident.
World Star.
I'm okay with this. For the next ten minutes of the spell, I just sit down and talk to Shepard off in a corner without people.
Shepard tells you a wonderful tale for 7.5 minutes about a stick that he found once.
And I listen gleefully.
You already know this story because most of the story is that he brought the stick to you and you threw it. About 4 minutes in, you realize the stick was Meepo.
I was wondering if it was.
Because she's a stick.
Like, it was me. It was me. I'm the stick.
Meepo doesn't know this because
I know. I know. That's why I didn't do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, you take another long rest because it was getting late anyway. In the morning, you are able to
level up.
Everyone's leveled up at this point. Mm-hmm. You actually leveled up back in Watson.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I got in so late for that.
Yeah. Most people had already, over the course of the week, put in their information for level 5. And I wasn't going to make you backtrack. So I just made sure that you would have time for a long rest before we went forward.
Okay.
It's metagaming, yes.
I had both sheets ready just in case, so.
And there you go. All right. So you managed to take the portable hole to Tillery, who looks at it dubiously, says, is that a chicken?
It is. His name's Little Buddy.
He's very sassy and refuses to leave. He'll be fine. And your egg will be fine too.
Okay.
Feel free to step in the hole. It's okay.
Feel free to have the cake land on the chicken.
You know,
let's not get crazy now.
How about we just work on the delivery process? And you manage to roll this large keg into the portable hole. It just barely fits. It kind of scrapes the sides a little bit. In some genres, as it scrapes the side, it would have actually cut through, but this is a different kind of portal, so you're fine. And she also gives you the smaller keg as well. So you get your payment in advance. For some reason, she trusts you.
First mistake.
Last mistake.
We'll make sure that the smaller keg goes to Fenix.
Yes.
And she, keep in mind what she did to an ex-boyfriend. You're not entirely sure that if you double-crossed her, you would be safe.
Willing to take that bet.
I'm not entirely sure we're safe anywhere we go.
We're carrying explosive alcohol.
Basically, Akari knows I'm the DM. That's why he said that. But
what you hauling, rocket fuel?
No, Akari is also a DM and knows that. That's why he said that.
Of course you are.
So you are able to avoid needing a wagon, which is good because Fenix is eyeing. Like, this is no longer an inn where you are the only customers. In your time going south and back north again, the first merchant caravans have started coming along the long road. So there are other people that have been coming back and forth. There is commerce happening.
He has wagon envy.
He's looking at those wagons like, you know, very shoddy construction. I could probably smash that pretty easily.
I'll be right back.
That's 2018. Wagon,
look at that.
There's one wagon where Fenix just gets disappointed because he looks at it and he's certain he couldn't pick it up. It's not that it's too heavy. It's that it's not structurally sound enough. It would fall to pieces when he tried to pick it up. And that's just not as fun. You got to watch it smash to pieces after you've thrown it a good 20 feet.
Yeah.
You could tear the wheels off and throw them like frisbees, but you don't know what a frisbee is, so you can't.
It's an improvised weapon.
Yeah, it would be. So is the whole wagon.
Yes.
This is so weird.
I know, right?
Animal talking wagons is all we do.
That's what we've done today. And carry explosives.
And a good time was had by all. Okay, so I am loading up a map. That's the wrong map.
It's the look of a wagon.
I didn't put the right map into OBS, so it's not showing it. But in any case, everything is roughly a day's travel. It's give or take several hours, but by the time you get to a destination, it's like, do we want to keep going, or do we actually want to sleep in a bed tonight? So, some of you don't care, but some of you do. And my cat is attacking my curtains right now. So if you hear me yell and then I go silent for a while, it's because I have to put them back up. This has happened before. So you have a relatively uneventful journey towards Idano. You pass several caravans going both ways with very little difficulty. As you get to the outskirts of Idano, you can see it's a relatively small town. It appears to be built at a crossroads, and it's primarily there for caravans. It services merchants that are traveling to other locations.
It's a waypoint.
Yeah, the people who live here specifically to run a business where caravans come through and do business with them. Picking up additional supplies. One of the first things you come across is an armory. I am going to give you the map. You remember when I said you're going to hate me?
Yeah.
We're going to hate you.
That's the map.
Oh, God.
You actually see
you
this.
You are the worst.
You see this as a large poster pinned up to a bulletin board on the outskirts of town.
Cousin, perhaps?
I didn't know.
Lots of cousin.
I'm a horrible person.
Oh my.
Welcome to Abbott and Costello's town.
One of the traveling merchants goes, just so you know, it's a hard O. It's a boat. And
a boat.
Costello's.
Or Canada?
A boot.
It's Ida no, you pronounce the O as a hard O. You do the same thing for the names.
Costello. A boat.
Yes.
No.
That's also a hard O. You're absolutely right.
Unlike the drow.
So, what would you like to do?
Burn the town to the ground.
Oh, we're doing explosives.
I have a wand of fireballs at the ready.
That warms my cold, dead middle school teacher's heart. Oh, that's so lovely.
It's just like a wild bunch.
I believe Ari will head to the antiquity shop first.
Okay. I think I'm going to the armory first. See if I can get a bowl.
Armory.
I'm going to follow Mr. Ari because he teaches me stuff.
I'm going to go to armory as well.
I wanted to work on teaching her a spell as we headed towards Idano. I'm not sure what she can handle, but I am going to hopefully begin teaching the rudiments of Alter Self, so that Meepo doesn't have to look like Meepo and draw a lot of unwanted attention.
Oh, that's just
okay.
Are you cobalt shaming her?
I know, no. God.
No, but people might ask a lot of questions, and if she looks, say, more like a gnome than a thing with long snout and pointy teeth, it might draw less inquiry.
We literally have a dragonborn with a snout, a tail, and pointy teeth.
Yeah, but exactly.
And throws wagons.
But at least he's from this world, is he not?
He is, but you are far enough away from where most dragonborn live that, well, to be fair, the merchants in this area do travel most of the long road, so many of them recognize what a dragonborn is. He's a bit of an oddity. So they'll still stare, but they're not freaking out that a horrible monster has entered the town.
Right. The kobold, on the other hand,
Is a baby dragonborn.
As a baby dragonborn.
They don't tend to see dragonborn, so they, I guess they have tails when they're babies, and when they get older, they fall off like a tadpole.
That made some logical sense.
You pretend it's my daughter.
There you go.
That's what we did in Cambridge.
Being a dad is a big responsibility.
I will teach her how to
You have to feed your children. You have to teach them. You have to tuck them in at night. You are not allowed to set them on fire.
I will give them.
Do not give them Gear Grinder Special.
I have some. I mean.
Okay. So in any case, let's work on this going from west to east. So because that's the way you're heading anyway. So the first place you come across that you are interested in stopping at is a boat's armory, and. Socket, move out of the way so I can see my list of names. The armory is, the proprietor is named Who. Who a boat. And he is in the armory. He's polishing some armor. You see all kinds. You see a wonderful, very detailed suit of plate armor. That seems to be like a centerpiece. Most of the armor here is not as well crafted or fashionable, but this is like a showpiece where maybe someone who has more money than sense would buy this. Fenix, just so you know, your armor is sort of like halfway in between where it is quite fancy. The dwarves that crafted it for you were very happy to do it for you when they put a lot of effort into it. But yours is a lot more functional. This suit of armor that you see in the armory is more along the lines of Warcraft tier gear.
God.
Yeah. Anyone who knows how to fight looks at the suit of armor and says, yeah, I wouldn't wear that. How would you move? If I shrug, I will kill myself. Multiple knife wounds to the head. If I could shrug, how heavy are those shoulders? But in any case, most of the armor in here is much more practical. And who asks if there's anything he can help you with?
Nah, just looking. Start wandering through the
store. You wouldn't happen to have a decent longbow, would you?
Oh, we have several longbows, sir. Right this way, and he takes you to a display case where you see a significant number of bows of various sizes that appear to be made of different kinds of wood.
Okay.
Is there anything that catches your fancy?
Right, is there a plus one longbow?
I have no idea what that is.
Speaking to the DM?
Huh. You have no idea.
Okay.
They look to be... You don't see shoddy merchandise in here. This isn't something that would be looted off of a corpse of a random humanoid race. These appear to be finely crafted. But you don't see anything that you innately go, oh, that's magical. Well, give me an arcana check.
Okay.
And tell me if you see anything magical.
19, Arcana 0, 19.
Nothing here appears to be magical at all, but, if a car fanatic is looking at a magazine of the latest hot rods that are coming out, that's the equivalent of what you are feeling when you're looking at this case full of bows. These are very nicely made bows.
Possibly better than what I have.
Better quality in regards to everything that isn't a game mechanic.
Okay.
Like, you would spend less time on maintenance. Your bow's been around the block. Every now and then you have to, like, patch it up in places. You've replaced the bowstring more often because there's certain spots where it's wearing through.
Are some of these bows?
He quotes the prices for you. The cheapest one is twice what a longbow would cost in the player's handbook.
50 gold is... So that's 100 gold for a longbow? Jesus, okay.
Well, sir, that is mahogany.
my goodness.
Uh-huh. Never mind.
Sir, have you heard a green gear grinder special?
So I do believe that they brew that about a day's journey to the west. But we don't have much of a market for it here. The only person who would be able to possibly sell you any would probably be Ed. And I'm not entirely sure he'd be willing to part with it.
Did anyone actually write down who we're supposed to take this stuff to?
Nope.
No. You recall that actually Tillery forgot to tell you. She just said that it needed to be delivered to the town.
Why don't we check with Ed?
Or because, we can find the highest bidder.
Because if he's someone who refuses to part with it, I feel like he's just going to say that it's his.
Yeah, I don't think we just give it to him. But I defer to the Dragonborn.
She might expect payment for it.
You got the sense that she had an understanding that her payment would be sent to her with one of the merchant caravans. The payment is relatively non-volatile, and they are happy to deliver it for a small fee. It's just the services rendered are quite volatile, and they'd like to live.
Understandable.
The long road is not the long road plus a crater.
Unless you're going to Watson.
Which is, that's actually a day's journey away from the long road. Right. But yes. All right, so as we continue our way east, the next place that you said you were interested in going to is Abote's Antiquities.
Yes.
This is a rather blockish one-story building. Most of the buildings that you've seen are two stories, but this one is much shorter. Rather chunky. It's like a rectangular prism. It's painted a very high saturation blue with square windows going around it. And in block lettering at the top of it, it says Abote's Antiquities.
I will enter the shop.
Okay.
And people will follow him right in.
The inside is smaller than the outside. For some reason, you suspect it would be larger on the inside, but nope, it's smaller. But it is lined with all kinds of various things that you would see in a Halloween prop store, perhaps, except they're not props. You kind of wish some of them were props, because, wow. But there's all kinds of stuff in here lining the walls. Some of them are stacked several items deep, where you look around one item and you see more of the same, or you look around one item and you see that there's something entirely different and possibly more gruesome or possibly cooler or possibly more illuminating than the other thing. You're not quite sure how things are organized in here, but there is another proprietor in here, and he introduces himself as what?
No.
He also looks exactly like who?
Oh my god.
I hate Circulus.
Good day, sir. What?
Oh, not sir. Just what?
Good day, what? My name is Aristobulus Ravenscroft.
Oh, I've heard of the Ravenscrofts. How is your family doing?
I hope quite well. I have not been home for a few years now. So I've been a bit out of touch, attending the wizard school in, I forgot the name of where we were building that.
I forgot it too. Otherwise I would have said of the fill in the name of the blank town.
Yeah.
Ravenscrofts.
Let me check my notes. I do have what the name of the school is, I believe.
XYZ Naleth. Location.
Yeah. Naleth. The Academy of the Arcane.
And what town is that in?
I don't have... It's a simply in a nearby province. I drew it on the map.
You know what? I think I have a note here. Hold on. I have so much.
Did it on a map. Let me check my files. Circular.
I have a whole file that's named after where you're from. As Adrolanka.
Yes. Adrolanka is the home province. Yes. And I have it on the map. I drew Nalith. The academy of where Nalith is approximately, it looks to be about, there's one adjoining province or section between the two, with a very other small one kind of also bordering Nalith. And I think the province or the town was Nalith. We did not name the province.
Okay. Who, not who, what is familiar with the Adrolanka Ravenscrofts? And he thinks very highly of them. As he is talking with you, he drops several names that he thinks will help to endear you to his, to him and put him in your good graces. You're not exactly happy with the family members whose names he drops.
Yeah.
But how you react, of course, is up to you. But he thinks he's being suave about this.
I will allow him to think he is being suave.
Okay. So what can I do for you today?
I have been traveling since I left Nalith. I have found two rather interesting items during my travels. I find myself currently unable to ascertain their magical properties. I am interested in finding if you're able to do such services and what you charge for such services.
Well, that would depend. I am happy to identify anything that you are interested in perhaps selling to me. If you are interested in keeping the item for your own use or selling it to someone else, I would say that, well, for a Ravenscroft, perhaps 20 gold per item?
I will take that upon you. I will show him the robes, and I will count out 20 of my gold and ask him to perform the service to identify this item.
One second. And he steps through a door that you didn't see behind him, but there was a door behind him. It's not that it was magically disguised. It's that there is so much stuff on shelves that have been nailed to this door that you just assumed it was part of the wall.
Part of the wall, yeah.
Yeah. So he goes through this door.
Yeah. I will continue to browse and look around the shop.
You do that by turning in a slow circle.
Circle, yeah.
With your feet not moving very far, because if you move in any direction, you're going to walk into something.
I'm going to do an Arcana check real quick to see if there's anything big and obvious that he might have laying around.
Everything is big and obvious.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, powerful then. We'll say that. Okay. Yeah, go on.
It's mostly, you don't even need to roll, to be very honest.
Okay.
You recognize a lot of spell components for the kind of spells that a wizard hired to go with a merchant caravan might need to cast help stay employed.
Right.
There's a few oddities. Sorry?
Yeah. There's no set focus, school focus. For example, he doesn't carry a lot of conjuration or evocation. Is there, say, an obvious, like, necromancy doesn't seem to be real heavily present?
Oh, no, there's nothing here that looks necromantic in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, so he's at least eschewing that school.
Most people do.
Most people do, but if he's a traitor, he may still keep a few oddities on hand that necromancers may still like to look at. If he's not putting them out in the open, which shows he's a little smart, so.
Yes.
But wait, I thought he had, like, Halloween-type stuff?
No, but that's the fake stuff you use to put out to distract the rooms.
Yeah, there's various vials with various colored liquids in them that are to probably point them out to you and say, well, that's an extract of XYZ and et cetera, et cetera. Various things that are used in alchemy or spell casting or things. You don't find like severed hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
The most gruesome thing you find is like the stereotypical jar full of eyes of newt. because apparently you always need a jar that has eyes of meat in it.
Okay.
But there are no cobalt teeth.
Oh, no. No, all the cobalt teeth are on Meepo right Meepo. Now.
Me. Mine. Well,
fun fact about cobalt, they constantly shed their teeth similar to sharks, except you don't have additional rows back there. Their mouth is not a horror show. but Meepo's clan, what they tend to do with their teeth is they keep them and wear them as necklaces, and the more teeth you have on your necklace, the older you are. And some kobolds end up stealing teeth or making fake teeth.
Jeez. Yeah. I could see that.
Try to make themselves look older so that they become clan leader.
But 200 years old.
Meepo's walking around with 150 teeth on her necklace, and she's just like dragging it on the ground because she doesn't have the neck strength to pick it up. That'd be funny, but
so,
probably
Mr.
not.
Mr. Ari?
Yes?
What happened in here?
Sorry, what?
What happened in here? There's stuff all over the place. And, like, how does he find it? And how come this place is not so big as the inside?
Well, I believe clearly he is using some sort of magical properties or magical spells to distort the size. Simple transmutation magic could achieve this effect, possibly other extra-dimensional space warping. I don't know where he's gotten all of these items from, but given that the trading point of this, or trading focus of this village, clearly some things have been brought in by other traders, or perhaps those that wandered on in with something to offload.
Okay. And I start wandering around looking for whatever's there.
You find several shinies.
Ooh, I pick them up. Unless they're too big. I pick up the little shinies.
You do find a necklace with a particularly large, by cobalt standards, green gem. It looks like quartz, but it's not like white translucent quartz. It's greenish translucent. And it is, it has a bronze set of wires that are going around it to hold it onto this necklace, which also appears to be made of bronze.
I pick it up and I go, ooh, pretty.
Careful. We don't know what that does.
It's a necklace. You wear it right on your neck.
All right, give me an Arcana check.
Piece of cake. 13 on the die plus, what do I have? 10 now. Yes. So 23.
Okay. This is what you put out front for people to realize that you sell magical things when you don't want anyone to actually steal anything that's actually magical.
So it's a warning glyph.
Plastic doesn't exist in this setting, but if it did, okay, You'd be fairly certain it's made of plastic.
Gotcha. So it's very, very fakeified.
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, Mr. Abbott comes back and he says, "This is a remarkable find. Where did you get this?"
I'm not at liberty to discuss that at this point.
Oh, certainly. Shame on me for asking. But this appears to be a robe of eyes. I've heard of these before, but I've never actually encountered one in the flesh, so to speak. This is a remarkable way to improve your ability to see things. The eyes are not actually for show. They literally see your environment and convey that information telepathically to you. It even lets you see in the dark and can let you see things that would otherwise be invisible.
Ooh, then this is perhaps a very excellent find. Thank you, sir, for identifying this for me. I may be in town for a little bit, and I may need more of your services.
Well, you know where to find me.
I do indeed. Meepo,
mm-hmm.
Do you have something you would like to ask the gentleman about?
Okay. Mr. What, can I have this?
And I show him the necklace.
He has trouble looking at the necklace because he's more fascinated by you.
This is my associate, Meepo.
Hi.
Meepo. A pleasure to make your acquaintance. He holds out his hand to shake your hand.
And I shift the necklace into one hand, reach out and try to shake his hand, but my hand's little, so I'm shaking his finger.
He leans over the counter so he can reach you. He smiles. A pleasure to make your acquaintance. If I may ask, what are you?
I'm a kobold.
A kobold? Fascinating. I'd not heard of that race before. I might have to do some research. All right, so, Meepo, what is it that you have there?
This, it's shiny, it's pretty.
Ah, yes. That is a fine piece. If you would like that, or if Mr. Aristobulus would be interested in purchasing this for you, I would say, you know what? What the heck? You may have it. It's yours.
Yay! Thank you.
And I put the necklace on over my other necklace.
While Meepo is enjoying her little find, I will kind of give him a very broad and distinctive wink, and big smile at him, at the proprietor, trying to convey that I understand what that device actually is.
Oh, he had no misinterpretation at all of your ability.
No, but
he assumes that the Ravenscrofts are all very powerful wizards.
Well, some of them are not. But the point I'm trying to make is that I want him to know that I know what that is that he's selling to her, or at least giving to her in this case.
He taps the side of his nose twice and smiles.
Okay, back. Very good. That works for me. Okay. At this point, I do have to sign off. I have to go pick up my daughter. I will be back as soon as I can. Hopefully we do not, hopefully you guys don't end before I get back, but I don't know how long it's going to take me to get over there and get back.
In this time that you'll be gone, Fenix tries to tap the keg and the entire town explodes and Vex dies. Oh, no.
I want to be at least 5 miles from that.
as Vex's light fades from his eyes, as his body, his rapidly charring body flies through the air and over the countryside, he just sighs and goes, at least the town is gone.
Yeah.
Would it be worth it? Probably.
No, probably. Yes.
After this, I will read you all the names that I've come up with for the people in this town. But
I will burn you.
it was a force of will. I had to make a force of will would be a charisma check in this game. I had to make a charisma check to keep the person that's the proprietor for a boat's antiquities from being named who. Because it's a blockish blue building. That has a different set of dimensions on the inside.
We're going to have when and why.
I picked that up right away.
Yes. But for anyone who failed their intelligence check, that's the answer.
Yeah. I got to roll.
Okay, be well. All right. So the next place that you were interested in going to was Ed's, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This building is... It's really hard to describe. There's parts of it that are very ornate and look very well put together. There are other parts that appear to be what ramshackle would be if someone who didn't know how to make something as good as ramshackle
tried to make something like a cracker barrel.
There's parts of it that look like it, the original structure was made very nicely, but there's been some repairs done that were perhaps done a little more rapidly. But there is a very ornate sign going over the door in the front. And it's a double-wide door. Like, you could fit the keg through this door easily. You think the keg would take up the entire interior of the structure, but you could fit the keg in there. And the lettering of the sign over the door says, Edelman Steam Whistles Femtabulous Multi-Level Transtabulatory Service.
Gnomes.
And because some of you like to take notes, I'm going to copy-paste that into Discord.
Thank
so you.
You
can see what the heck I said.
I want to say to Vex, so do we ask for Ed? Or...
I'm going to say... You've been working on your diplomacy. Why don't you handle this?
I'd be glad to.
Let's call this a little experiment, a practice run for you.
Oh, by the way, Fiddle Punch has been following along with the main party.
Okay.
But as soon as he sees Ed's, for want of a better word, shack, and the name on it, he's like, nope, another gnome, I'm out. I'll be in the inn.
You're so antisocial.
He makes me look like I'm friendly.
He turns his giant robotic stag beetle around and heads off to the inn.
All right, then let's go in and, you know, is there a... I mean, what does it look like in here? Is it a...
Maybe knock first?
Yeah, I guess that would be nice.
What? Oh, the customer. Wonderful. The doors slide open, and you see that the interior is mostly empty. There's some chains on either side of this largish empty room and a lever on one side of it, but otherwise it's devoid of interior decorations. And right in front of you is... Now, you've never, in your adventures, seen a gnome that had a 20 for their strength. But you think you see one now. He is ripped. His muscles have muscles. If he and Fenix decided to do a fastball special, you're not entirely sure the Dragonborn would be throwing the gnome. It might be the other way around, and you might get better distance.
Oh, I see how it is.
Hey, we're here to see Ed?
That would be me, Edelman Steam Whistle, at your service. And he does a little bow.
I'm Pankaram Darkstone. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance. So what is your specialty, sir?
I acquire goods and services. I was told that you might be interested in something.
Go on.
May we come in and discuss this with you?
I would rather discuss acquisitions away from my adventures until I know your intentions more clearly. Let's put it that way, good gnome.
Okay. You have any
remember
interest?
That gnomes in this world tend to all be inventors that are remarkably paranoid about other gnomes stealing their ideas.
Yeah, and I don't really want to tell him what I've got either.
So you're at an impasse.
Exactly. So you're not expecting anything from insert town name here? Can't remember where we got it.
It wasn't a town, but it was the Gear Grinder Distillery.
Yeah. You weren't waiting for anything from the Gear Grinder Distillery, were you?
Actually, I was waiting for a delivery from the Gear Grinder Distillery. Why do you ask?
Inquires if you were still interested. Yeah, had agreed to the original terms.
Considering I have already sent the payment, the answer would clearly be yes.
All right. Well, we have what you ordered. What was it again? I just want to confirm before we get it out.
I believe it would be a very large supply of a powerful distilled alcoholic beverage, although okay. You'd be fooled to drink it.
They glance over at Fenix.
He notices over, you look over at Fenix and he goes, oh.
I look over at Obin.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Tell you what.
Obeying Gumbles.
We have a keg for you to deliver. Do you prefer it? Is there a delivery entrance around the side or anything?
You're looking at it.
Okay. Just making sure.
Where's the keg?
Okay. All right. We'll step away. And is there somewhere I can go where he can't? I don't want him to see this portable hole.
If he doesn't follow you around the side of the building, you could probably attach your portable hole to any of the walls.
Okay. Wait, can I distract him and just talk to this guy?
Yeah, because I don't want him to see this thing. So even if we so if Fenix can start talking to him, and then what I'll do is go around the side and so I'm picturing this hole is almost like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like you can just like throw it up against the wall.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Okay, so yeah, just throw it up against the wall, and I guess I'll probably need some help getting the keg out, I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's two people trying to get it out, I'm not going to require a strength check. If you try to get it out yourself, I will require one.
Hey, Vex, give me a hand.
No, he's Vex. She's Vax. And most people aren't going to get that reference, so that's great.
Yeah, I know what it is. Can you give me a hand with getting this keg out?
Sure, I can try and help.
Okay. Right. While they're doing that, Fenix, you get you engage Edamin in conversation, and he nods politely at whatever you're saying and doesn't fill in a whole lot of details with any questions that you ask, but he does seem to be mostly polite with you.
Big guy to big guy. Except first time this dude's actually just slightly bigger.
You discuss workout routines.
Bro, do you even lift?
Yes.
I lift 500 wagons in one go.
You take turns lifting each other.
We just spit in our hands and shake each other.
Matter of fact, you lift him up, and while you've lifted him up, he lifts you up.
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah. I wasn't a physics major in college, but I don't think that would work.
So, in modded Minecraft, someone added the gravity gun into modded Minecraft at one point, and Eclipse is in Discord listening in, so he knows the story. We tried this on each other. We both used the gravity gun to pick each other up, and we just sort of flew off into the air. Because the way the game mechanics worked, it was, oh, when someone uses the gravity gun on you, you get picked up. So it kept adding height numbers to both of us, and we just went whew, right up into the air. It was glorious. He puts his feet on the roof of his shack and lifts you up. So now you're on top of the shack, and you're in the air. And you're sort of like in a ballerina pose with him lifting you up one-handed with his hand on your chest. You have never felt so free.
Oh, can anyone draw? Please draw that.
Yeah.
I wish I could draw.
We need fans so we can have fan art.
I know.
Dragonborn's back on track to the road. It's
the only person I knew who listened to this recording that wasn't an active part of it. Thank you, Eclipse, for posting that to Discord. That is adorable. That is freaking adorable.
Was Jen and now she's here?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So now we have no outside listeners that I'm aware of.
No.
But that's okay. Because
we'll just keep retweeting the link. It's like a message in a bottle. Eventually somebody's going to send
it. It keeps going back to us. We're sending messages out and then responding to our own messages. Exactly. And back. It's very meta. It is incredibly meta. Okay, so you've got the keg out and you roll it around. And you get the sense that Ed and Fenix were doing something, but they very quickly got back into normal pose.
Hey, no judgment.
Yeah, here's start talking about bro stuff.
You guys are weird.
You guys, bromance is over. Here's the keg.
Oh, it's never over, bro.
He comes over. He gingerly taps one knuckle on the keg, listens to the sound. Like, yep, that sounds about right. By the way, the keg is made entirely out of metal.
I'm not shocked by this.
Yes. Based on your experiences with Gear Grinder, you're not entirely sure wood would keep from being dissolved.
Exactly. I'm picturing alien blood. So.
I'm shocked the metal hasn't dissolved.
Well, the metal might have an additional liner on the inside.
I'm shocked Obian hasn't dissolved.
Dwarven constitution. Okay, so he motions you to follow in. You do all remarkably fit on inside. He closes the doors, pulls the lever, and the entire floor, for those of you who didn't guess it was an elevator, it's an elevator, sort of like rumbles and goes down maybe about 20 feet into a very large chamber with a series of doors in various places, but you don't notice the doors so much as you notice a very large contraption on the far end of the room. There is a red carpet walkway leading to it. It looks like it was actually made out of discarded kegs like the one you're rolling. But it's a series of four boxes. The two on the end seem to have more machinery attached to them than others. There is one of the two that are in the middle doesn't have any windows on it. It's very blockish. And it has things that are on the sides of it that you think are there so you could strap things to it, like other boxes or crates or whatever. And the other box that you see has a series of clear windows going along it, and you can see sort of like couches through the windows.
Is this like a social club or something?
My sir, this is my greatest invention. I call it a transtabular.
What's it do?
It moves things from point A to point B.
That's my job.
Can you do that at a speed of... And he gives you a unit of measurement that you've never heard of before.
Sounds like witchcraft to me.
Well, let me explain it in language that the non-gnomes will understand. This moves very fast. You can ride inside of it and get where you want to go while you take a nap or enjoy a nice meal or do some research work.
So it's a wagon.
It's better than a wagon. It doesn't need horses. It just needs this.
Nothing is better than a wagon.
And he goes to slap the keg, and then he sort of like stops about an inch away from the keg, like, maybe I shouldn't slap that.
No.
In any case, this stuff is so volatile, it makes the perfect fuel for my contraption. It allows me to transport goods back and forth between a mining town to the south. I make a pretty decent business because most merchant caravans don't want to go there. It's too far out of their way.
Could you use it to get your kegs of fuel?
Wait, hold on. What was the name of the town to the south?
Oregano.
Jeez, seriously?
Yes.
That sounds like seasoning.
It is.
No, not oregano. It's a very common mistake.
In the UK, it's called oregano.
And in Spanish, it's pretty close.
Actually, I think the Americans are the only ones that call it oregano.
America.
So it's seasoning.
Make seasoning great again, I guess.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You did it this time, not me. Let the record reflect.
But in any case, that's the name of the town. And you recall as you looked at your map that it's kind of if that's not where you need to go, it's really close to where you need to go.
Would you be able to send us to this mining town with your contraption?
He looks at you. He looks over at what is clearly a passenger car, and he looks back at you. Well, how much does the Dragonborn weigh? Yeah, I could do it.
I'm not getting in that thing. I don't trust it.
That's okay. We can strap you to the side. You'll be fine.
I'm not getting in it.
You're going to have to give him some milk or something like B.A. Baracus.
I'll give him Gear Grinder Special.
This could cut so much time off our journey.
And we could die. Have you used this before for people?
I use it for me. Every now and then I've got a passenger that wants to go there. There was some guy, there was a dwarf that wanted to go there maybe 2 years ago. He enjoyed it.
You sure he came back safely?
He was going there for a job. As far as I know, he's still employed.
So you don't know if he got there safely?
He got there safely, but I don't exactly go there and make social visits. I deliver goods, pick up goods, and bring them back.
I think this has something to do with some of the issues we're having. What's that?
They had him there to enforce laws. That's why he got hired. It's a mining town, but it's weird. It's not run by dwarves. They have a deal with the dwarves to run just this one because most dwarven communities aren't interested in mining salt. That's what they do. But part of the agreement was that they had to have a dwarf as part of their government there, so they hired this dwarf to be the sheriff.
Ed? Yes? Ed?
Yes?
Can you give my mom, friend, and myself 2 seconds, and I can push Punk a little bit over to the side and say an undercommon so it's just us. The sooner we get this gnome to this weird thing that he thinks is happening down here to figure it out,
yeah,
the sooner you don't have to deal with idiot gnomes that think they're better than you.
I'm concerned that with him moving stuff around, these portals or whatever he's talking about, could that be connected to the problems we're having coming through from places? He doesn't understand science, but he's just trying to explain, you know, if you're opening doorways to different places and stuff is coming in and out, is that part of the problem with what's coming into Circulus?
Is this just a conversation between you and Ponk, or are you bringing any other party members into it?
Just...
We're speaking in undercommon.
Yeah.
Okay. But did you move away from the party?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Jen, just so you know, because I don't know if you saw this on your character sheet, but you do speak undercommon. You have not told the rest of the party this, so it's up to you.
Oh, wonderful.
I forgot she was a Firbolg from... I forgot she was from Faerun.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
But you haven't really heard them speaking undercommon before, so you don't... You didn't know that was a language they knew. So it's just never come up. That was a detail you knew.
Okay, so if I could hear them speaking undercommon, I'm going to kind of like go closer and see what they say.
Okay. And I was asking, not just so I could bring Jen in on this with Meepo, but also because some of the stuff you're asking, you do have Ari there, even though his player has gone AFK.
Yeah.
And he has a high Arcana check.
Yeah, his sudden magical invention that no one else has seen before.
It's a cart.
But it's a teleporter.
No, it doesn't teleport. It literally goes through what I'm assuming. Okay, Crash, I'm assuming from the way you described
it's a train.
It, to me it sounds like a train. Thank you, yes.
It's a train.
My understanding was it was a teleporter.
No, it sounds like a train.
It's on wheels, and there's a track that's going off into a hole in the wall.
He's literally built a train.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was like a teleporter or something.
No, train.
Oh, all right.
What's a train?
You handle this.
Oh. You understand what we're saying, honey, don't you?
Uh-huh. What's a train?
Let the record state that I'm steepling my fingers in glee.
Good.
I know, and I hate you for it.
I'm not even sure I know what a train is. If Punk would know what a train is.
I don't even think Vex would know what a train is.
I'm surprised Vex knew what a train was. He used a vocabulary where they did not know the definition for.
Yeah. So Punk is still kind of like, you know, machines? What are machines? You know, I mean, what does this thing do? What is it, you know?
The thing he's built is a train.
Okay.
It moves us from point A to point B very quickly.
So it's like a wagon?
Yes, but faster.
A fast wagon. Mm. Okay.
All right. Gonna look over at Fenix since he couldn't understand what we were saying. Want to take the train?
Oh, heck yeah.
Secure your keg.
And I just say to Ed, we're calling it a train.
All right, we'll take it.
I'll have you know it's called a transtabulator.
After we're done with this, I'll throw it.
I'm going to go get Fiddle Punch.
Fiddle who?
Okay. Our other gnome ally.
That isn't probably he, like, might not go well.
Oh, you have a history.
Well, let's just say I'm surprised that you, sir, are okay with this.
He's not from around here.
That is clear.
I'll be right back.
I'm not your average gnome.
That is also clear.
So I go up and get Fiddle Punch and tell him he has to put on a stiff upper lip because he's going on the train.
Fiddle Punch is having none of it.
Okay.
He is happily sitting in the inn by the fire. You see that he has had a few recreational beverages. They left the bottle. Where and why are the inn proprietors, by the way?
Of course.
I didn't.
Where and why?
So just Vex is there, right?
Vex and Fiddle Punch. If anyone else wanted to go and follow, you could follow.
Oh, I follow.
I'm not the boss of you.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I'm still not totally sold on this train thing, yeah. He's got issues with Fiddle Punch. I know. I want to be there and talk to Fiddle Punch.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to be with Ed, and I want to arm wrestle.
There you go.
I'm going to
strength check.
I'm going to follow everybody to the
strength check. Okay. Punch thing.
Punk is just not sold on getting on this vehicle thing.
23.
Okay, so you win because you literally, like, his arm is like a thing of stone. You don't bend him at the elbow, you don't bend him at the shoulder. His whole body turns at a 90-degree angle when you win. If it wasn't for the fact that the ground underneath him gave way, it would have not been a win. It would have been a tie.
So, at the end, I would like to say to Fiddle Punch, Fiddle Punch Iron Wrench, this train, vehicle, whatever he's calling it, could cut days off our journey to get to this anomaly you think is there, the discovery you are trying to make to help us get home. You are getting on that train, and you will like it.
He pulls out the device he's been looking at every time he's checking his readings, and he plops it down on the table in front of you with a loud thud and says, "Here, I am not getting into a gnomish invention." I'm sorry, I'm using Ed's voice. "I am not getting into a gnomish invention. I have been traveling. I have been attacked by zombies. I have been attacked by monsters. Apparently, there was a being of the lower planes that was threatening to destroy us all, that I happily missed that particular situation, but could have been in the thick of it."
"No, we've kept you away from that."
"The point is, I am not an adventurer. That, my friend, is your venue. That is your wheelhouse. That is what you are good at. I am good at numbers. And I will be happy, very happy, to look at the numbers after you finish your adventure. I am not going anywhere with another gnome. He is going with you, isn't he?"
"No. He's taking us there and then leaving us."
"Then he won't be here."
"He seems to know you. He seems to know you, Fiddlepunch."
"No, I think it's just gnome.
I'm a gnome." "You said Fiddlepunch when you were talking to him, didn't you?"
"Yes."
"He seemed to be familiar with you.
Can you think of any other race that would name a child Fiddlepunch?"
"Just saying."
"Tieflings." "No, not tieflings, sorry. Halflings."
"Not a chance."
"You never know."
He starts to go into a diatribe about the nature of gnomish and halfling names and the differences between them culturally, and then realizes who he's talking to, and he's like, "Never mind, that's boring for you." The point is,
it was a troll.
"You don't need me. Take this advice. There's lots of it you don't understand. That's okay. You see this little gem here? If it glows red, you are really, really, really close to it. If it glows orange, you're maybe within half a mile of it. If it glows green, you're nowhere near it." You notice that it's actually glowing green right now. "If it's flashing red, run."
"Okay, do you have a set of, like, tools, tinker's tools, in case it breaks? Because I'm actually good with fixing things, believe it or not."
I have tinker's tools.
"You have tinker's tools?"
"Yeah."
"Because I'm out of game, out of character, I am actually proficient in tinker's tools. I just don't have any. So I've never used them.
I'm
good at fixing things."
He presses a button on the side
Punk's
of it.
Punk's background is mechanic, so.
He presses a button on the side of it, and a little compartment slides out, and there's a shelf that's just got very specialized tools that you deduce are made to fix this thing. "This isn't my primary realm of research, so I honestly don't mind if Ponk takes a look at this. He's probably skilled enough to take care of this, no problem."
"Yeah, I'll take a look at it."
"I think either of us can do it, yep."
"But remember, if it's glowing red,
we're
really close to the focus. If it's flashing red, run. And leave this. Don't take this with you when it's flashing red."
"Okay, drop it when it's flashing red. Got it."
"Alright.
If you can throw it far from you, that might be better." "Okay, not towards the Gear Grinder special."
"Alright, then if we go, you're finding your own way back."
"Oh no, I'm sure you'll be back, because you'll want to know what it comes up with. And I'm the one you have to go to."
"I don't know if I like being beholden to you. But I guess
I don't know if I like the gnomes from Circulus."
"Yeah."
To be fair, Fiddlepunch has gone through a lot. And he's not an adventurer.
Yeah.
He
but
needs
still
a
kind
vacation.
Of a jerk.
I think we all need a vacation.
Yeah.
You're going to call him up on some type of holographic machine, and you'll see that he's just, like, in a bathing suit on a beach drinking something with an umbrella in it.
Like, yeah, what can I do for you?
He loves sunglasses on because he'll have invented them.
Kind of getting tired of being his errand boy. But
technically you're being his errand boy for a favor that Ari has asked. If you were not directly involved with this, he'd be happily looking at stars through telescopes.
Yeah, also, he is trying to get us home.
I know. Just, he's getting on my nerves. All right, then just leave him here, and let's go do this thing. Let's just get it over with.
I suspect Ponk is that child that would get upset if he asked his mom to make a sandwich for him, then got upset with the way she was making it.
No, it's just, he doesn't like Fiddle Punch's attitude. He's a coward, basically. He's, you know, he expects other people to go do his work for him. He's a coward in the end, so.
Well, if you are interested in working out these mathematical computations, I'm happy to share the data with you.
I could care less. Let's
and
go.
And then we're back to this.
Let's go. Not going to argue with him anymore.
All right, you go.
It will not end well for Fiddle Punch.
You go, Punk. You go. All right. So you make your way back. Is there anything else you wanted to do in town before you left?
Burn it to the ground.
anything that wouldn't result in you finding out exactly what level the local constable is? Because I'm not letting you figure that out until you're in combat with him.
Pass on the trace, then burning it to the ground.
Do we need to, like, stock up on any supplies, like rope and anything like that, or...
You haven't drink. A lot of stuff on
I mean, while we're here.
You've got a keg of Gear Grinder Special.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun, but, you know, I'm just thinking if we have to tie somebody up or something.
You still have all the rope you had before.
All right. Awesome.
And you can take whatever supplies you need off the horses. Fiddle Punch is covering the costs for the inn because he's staying anyway. And there's a stable attached to the inn.
All right. Yeah, no, I think I'm okay.
All right. Okay, so you come back to Ed's place. What's that?
I was arm wrestling him.
Yep, you're still arm wrestling. It was best 2 out of 3. And then he won 2. So now it's best 3 out of 5, and then you got the upper hand, so to speak. But you just keep increasing the number of how many matches. You're very evenly matched. It's kind of surprising.
Best of 7.
And as I walk in, I say, all right, meat shields, let's go.
I just growl.
What's a meat shield?
Ed growls back, and it's deeper and louder.
Don't you growl at me,
he
master?
Was growling at Fenix. Like, you got to use your diaphragm. Go from your gut to get that growl. It resonates a bit more, travels a bit further. And if they're further away, they're not quite sure where it comes from. Really upsets them. Give it a try.
Says the gnome.
I'll do it.
Okay, roll to growl.
Wait, after all.
Just roll a d20 and give me the number.
I would really like to hear Ed's gnomish battle cry.
Okay, Meepo, give me a die roll, a d20.
A 20? Okay.
Yeah.
It's 4.
You are honestly terrified.
Yep.
This is a side of Fenix that you've never seen before. You are in awe. But you are terrified.
Well, he's a great one, and he's mad.
And I walk up and just punch him on the shoulder and say, you're scaring her.
I punch Ari back. I punch Vex back on the shore and say, why not?
All right, kids.
She's 4, and you're scaring her. Be nice.
Once she becomes 6, it'll be a common thing. Don't worry.
So, from the engine that is closest to the hole in the wall, you hear Ed say, yo, we doing this or not?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so there is a ramp that leads up to the passenger car. It is very nice. There are some magically lit chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. Small chandeliers, of course, but you know they provide a sufficient amount of light. The couches are large enough that, and there's enough of them that you could each claim one for yourself to sleep on, if you so chose. They are covered in velvet. They are very soft, very comfortable. There appears to be a wet bar in the back. And you start hearing the engines wind up, and you start to move forward with a little bit of a jerk. You do notice that the everything in here is labeled with the name of this particular device. It apparently is named the Dead Mouse.
Stop!
I actually did this for Eric's benefit.
I was going to say, he's not here.
Yeah, so. And I built this a while ago. And as it moves forward, you hear boots, pants, boots, pants, boots, pants, boots, pants.
Yeah.
And you pick up speed, and you go through this tunnel, and you can't see a whole lot of what you're passing through because you're going through a tunnel that seems to have been specifically dug for this train. But you can see some of it because of the chandeliers that are in here illuminating the outside. You are going much faster than you have ever gone before. But the acceleration is slow, so it's not like you're pushed into your seats. There's no one plastered to the back wall next to the wet bar. Comically spread eagle going, I can't feel my face. We've gone to plaid.
I was just going to ask if we had reached Ludacris yet.
No.
I was going to say Ludacris.
It's a slower acceleration. If it's powered with Gear Grinder Special, you get the sense that a quick acceleration is perhaps not the best thing. Now, after a while, after going through the tunnel for a while, you actually break out into the surface. You've maybe gone 20, 30 miles at this point. So you've already gone a full day's journey. But it didn't take that long at all. But it's a series of tunnels and then above ground, then below ground, depending on the topology. The rails are relatively straight. They don't weave around. It is punched straight through in a straight line. There is one part where you're fairly certain you were airborne for several seconds. That was a bit disconcerting.
Punk is just gripping whatever handle or chair or whatever he is. He's just not real thrilled with this.
Justice flaps his wings frantically for a while.
And Meepo's going, whee!
Yeah.
Meepo just lifts out of her seat.
like on the bus, she's bouncing.
It glides back down because of the umbrella hat. And whee!
Yes.
Yes. Like feather
remember,
fall.
Your umbrella hat actually has three charges.
So that's probably one.
Yes. Now, uh-huh. the way your hat works, the charges are kind of like the bag of tricks that Vex has. They replenish themselves at dawn. If you use the third charge, there is a 1 in 6 chance that your hat will actually turn inside out on the way down, and it becomes non-magical.
Okay.
So you might have a comical falling out.
I would like to activate my Cloak of Bellowing.
Yes, you do so. And you look epic.
I'm just going to flex.
Now, the last few miles of your journey are once again underground, and you come to a stop in a cave system. Very clearly a salt mine. There's white salt crystals pretty much everywhere. It's a very thin layer where you are. It's like this is just detritus from the mining operations as opposed to this is where they're actively mining. There is a sign that says welcome to Oregano
population, and the number's been crossed out and rewritten a few times, sometimes going up, sometimes going down. Your best guess is that the current number is somewhere in the 40s or 50s, because there's a lot of crossings out and rewritten, and not all the numbers that were crossed out were completely crossed out. But the wonderful contraption comes to a stop. You are in the town of Organo, and that's where we'll take it up next time.
Punk cannot wait to get off this thing.